God bless you, sir.
Oh, let's direct that hand clap to Jesus. Could we right now? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Do you like what you feel under the old tabernacle tonight? Hallelujah. Jesus is here in a real way. Amen. My, while that choir was singing, what a blessing I received. Praise God. You know what I believe? I just believe that some of the best young people in the entire world are right here in Arkansas. I believe that with all of my heart. I mean, you folks, you look like Pentecostals. You act like Pentecostals. You worship like Pentecostals. And I tell you what, I wouldn't be afraid or ashamed to put you young people next to any other group in the entire world. Hallelujah. I couldn't help it. While that choir was singing, I was shouting. And then the next thing I knew, I was weeping. And I was weeping and I was shouting at the same time. Because I saw young people that were worshiping out of their heart, that love God. And I know that this truth is in safe hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight in just a real beautiful, wonderful, wonderful way. I want to say that Sister Hamby is doing such a fabulous job with this choir. And the choir is doing such a great job. And Sister Castile's doing a fabulous job with that orchestra. They've been blessing us every night. And Sister Foster and myself have just been enjoying being here so very, very much. We have enjoyed all of the fellowship, all of the kindness, everybody. Brother Jerome, Brother Whittingham, everybody has been so kind and so nice to us, treating us so beautifully, and we appreciate it so very, very much. And the food, Sister Annie Spence, I believe, just done a great job, and I appreciate her so much and her work. And I got into some of Brother Moody's barbecue today, and I enjoyed that. And that was just a real treat. We can't get that kind of barbecue in North Carolina. And that was just a real treat. And then just to feel the power of God that is here right now. Amen. I believe that God is ready to do something again tonight on Thursday night. Hallelujah. Amen. So good to see Brother Bob McCool Sr. here. I have got to meet his son, I guess, for the first time this week, and have grown to love and appreciate him. And then Brother Bob McCool Sr. is loved and respected in North Carolina. He's preached out there, I guess, about three times in the last year or 2 years. I don't know. And everybody just loves him so very much. So good to see him. Good to see my good friend, Brother Steve Judd, tonight. Amen. And served a number of years with him on the youth committee. And great to see him. And just good to be in Arkansas and feel the power of Jesus. Do you want God to do something for you tonight, young people? Hallelujah. How about it, mothers and daddies and others that are here that are not enrolled in the camp? Do you want Jesus to do something for you also tonight? Why don't every one of us under this tabernacle just lift our voices once again and pour our hearts out to Jesus? I have decided to follow Jesus. Can you sing it? I can't. Get somebody to. Praise God. Let's give Jesus a good hand clap right now. Glory to God. I've got my mind made up tonight. There's not anything going to stop me. I'm going to follow Jesus every step of the way. I want us to sing it. Hallelujah.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, yes, I have.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, yes. Proverbs, the 24th chapter, and verse 16. I know you've had a busy day. I know you're probably tired. It's not every day you get to be in a war. I kind of got out of the line of fire before it got started. But as tired as you may be, on Thursday night, would you help me preach one more time? And how about all the rest of you? Would you help me preach also tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, beaten yet not defeated. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands one more time and say, Jesus, do it again. Now just praise Him together. Hallelujah. Everybody said, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. In Charles Dickens' novel, A Tale of Two Cities, it started in this fashion. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of unbelief. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct to hell. Words written for another place, for another time, for another season, and yet they fit so well right here tonight in the year 1987. For you see, in the world in which we live, with humanity all around us, things are not always as they seem. Things seem one way with somebody, but if you could get behind the veneer, if some way you could get behind the mask that they wear, if you could get behind the wall that has been erected by themselves, and get to the real them or the real you, you would find out what is really there. I've been talking about from night to night, about getting the walls torn down, about taking the masks off, and about getting inside to the real you and the real me. You see, I'm not interested in coming to Arkansas and preaching fancy messages. I've got some of those in my briefcase. I'm not here tonight to preach a flowery sermon. I even have a few of those in my briefcase. But tonight, young people, I have come to this youth camp to some way, somehow, help tear down the walls that you're hiding behind, to get you to drop the veneer, to get you to take the mask off and see yourself as you really are, so you can deal with yourself. And that is so important. Youth Camp 1987 will be a failure if we don't learn to deal with the real you and the real me. You see, in this generation in which we live, oftentimes we put on a mask, and that mask gives the picture that everything is all right, and everything is okay, and I'm living for God, and I'm worshiping God, and I'm praising God. But on the inside, we're filled with fear. We are filled with, so often, defeat. The devil comes along, and he has a way of magnifying our inadequacies. He has a way of bringing our inferiority complexes to the surface, and then taking them and beating us over the head with them. Am I coming through to you tonight? Do you know what I'm talking about? He comes along, and he is continually magnifying every insecure feeling. And he's dredging up things from your past. Maybe it's some great big something, and maybe it's something little bitty, but he's dredging it up, and he's rubbing it in your face, and he says, you're wearing a mask, you're wearing a front, everybody thinks you're one way, but on the inside I know you're another way. And so, whenever he begins to pound us over the head, frustration begins to set in. And hear me tonight, I'm not just preaching to youth tonight, but I'm preaching to every adult in this building tonight. You and I are not immune. Satan is waging a warfare of the mind. Satan knows that there are so many of you young people that he won't get any other way than through your mind. And so it is time tonight to drop our mask. It's time tonight to tear down the wall. And it's time tonight to come to grips with ourselves and to see what's really in our heart and to find out what kind of fears and doubts are there and to find out what we're afraid of and to find out just what it is maybe in our past that the devil is bringing up. It's not time to go on a pity party. Did you hear me? It's not time to say, poor little pitiful me. But it is time to face it and confront it head on. There are some of you here under the sound of my voice tonight that have been molested by parents. There are some of you here that have been abused by step-parents. There are some of you here that have suffered much pain and anguish and agony in your young lives. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to live with that pain. You don't have to live with that agony. You don't have to live with that heartache. You don't have to live with that torment. Tonight you can give it to Jesus. Our scriptural text says, for a just man falleth. Now that goes against everything we've ever been taught. That seems like a major contradiction. We don't think, Brother Jerome, of a just man falling. That is not even in our reasoning. That is not even in our thinking. But the scripture says, a just man falleth. And he doesn't just fall once. He doesn't just fall twice. He doesn't just fall three times. But the scripture says, the just man falleth seven times. Now that blows us away. That blows our mind. Because that is so foreign to anything we've ever felt about just individuals. The just man, the righteous man, never makes a mistake. The one that is living for God, our high ideal, they don't ever make a mistake. They don't ever stump their toe. But the Bible says the just man falleth seven times. Now, if it was cut off there, if that was a period and that was the end, then the Bible couldn't call him a just man. But it says the just man falleth seven times, but that's not it. But he ariseth again. That's what makes him just. Is every time that he falls, every time that he goes down, he gets up one more time. And he says, come on, devil. We're getting ready to go again. You may have beat me this time, but I'm not defeated. I may be down, but I am not out. Now, I'm not preaching to you tonight a license to sin. Understand me. I'm not preaching to you and giving you a license to backslide and come back to the church and backslide again and be in and out. But what I am telling you is that whenever you stumble, whenever you stump your toe, whenever you trip and fall, the devil comes along and begins to beat you over the head with that mistake. And he says, oh boy, oh girl, you've done it now. You blew it. Hang it up. Just quit. But that's where the scripture says the just man, whenever he falls, whenever he makes a mistake, and he gets knocked down right on his face, he says, hey, wait just a minute. I don't belong down here. I was not made to have my face in the mud. I may have my face in the mud right now, but this old boy is getting ready to get up again because my Jesus won the victory. And so he begins to pull himself up, and he gets a little higher, and he gets a little higher, and he gets a little higher, until finally he's back on top again. And he says, come on, let's go one more round. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You see, we must recognize that defeats are not necessarily permanent. It is according to how we look at them. You see, defeats tend to get us down. Defeats tend to bring depression. Defeats serve to bring negative feelings into our thinking. And the spirit of failure and defeat tries to get a hold of us. But we have got to recognize tonight that every time I fall, every time I fail, every time that I make a mistake, it is not the end of the road, but my failure, my defeat is just a stepping stone on my way to victory. You see, young folks, mothers and daddies alike, we must learn the value of perseverance. We must learn that getting up after a defeat is not an art. It does not come natural. Come here, Brother Jerome. You see this man in his glory. You see this man as the youth president of the great Arkansas district. And you see him with his chin up. You see him with his back straight. You see him with a smile on his face. But you don't see him in the lonely hours when he's been knocked down in the corner. You don't see that. Now you know that he has his problems. You understand that because you know life. You've lived long enough to know that everybody's got their problems. But so often to you and me, when we think of Brother Jerome, we say, man, he has mastered the art of getting up when he's been knocked down. And to him, it's just easy. The devil knocks him down, he just bounces right back. No, sir.
Let me tell you this. Whenever Brother Giroux has a setback, whenever he has a disappointment, whenever something he's been counting on does not come through, whenever things are not going good for him, and he's down, he doesn't just automatically spring back, but he's got to say, hey, fella, you got to reach up, and you got to grab a hold of the bottom rope, and you got to start pulling on it, and it's not easy, it's tough, it's hard, it doesn't come easy, but then you got to reach up, and you got to grab the second rope, and you got to start getting up, and then you got to grab the third rope, and then you got to jump back in the ring again. I'm telling you tonight that you are a winner if you can get desire in your heart. If you can desire more than anything in this world to live for Jesus. It takes the will to win. There was a little boy whose mother got him a brand new pair of ice skates. He went out to the pond out beside the house. He had never ice skated before. She helped strap his skates on, tie them on, and he got out there on that pond, and she went back inside the house where it was warm and watched out through the window. The little boy spent more time on the seat of his britches and the knees of his britches than he did on his feet. She watched him try to get up, and she watched him spin, and watched his legs flail away, and finally she watched him as he fell and hit his head and began to cry. And she dashed out down the lane to the pond and then very gingerly stepped out on the ice and tried to help him up and said, come on, honey, let's take those skates off and let's go inside. But he said, Mama, go back inside yourself. I didn't get my skates to give up with. I got them to learn with. I'm telling you that every time you fall, every time you suffer a setback, it's time to say, hey, I didn't have this to quit with. I've made up my mind that I'm going to learn something. I may be beaten, but I am not defeated. I'm going to get up to fight again. Calvary, beautiful, bloody, gory Calvary. No doubt Satan was having a heyday. It's over. It's over. No doubt there was dancing on the streets of hell. Hey boys, guess what's happening? Jesus, the Son of God, is hanging on a tree up yonder somewhere. Hey, his life's blood is flowing out of his body right now. But did you know that it was almost 2,000 years later that that song was written? And I believe that if Satan had have listened, he could have heard it way back yonder. Hey, Satan, I'm going to rise again. There ain't no power on this earth that can hold me down. And on the third day, he arose a victor over hell and death. Hallelujah. And so whenever you get knocked down, just remember that song and say, hey devil, I'm getting ready to rise again. Hey devil, I know who my daddy is. My daddy lives upstairs and he also lives in me. And he got up almost 2,000 years ago and he's going to resurrect me. I'll tell you, when a man becomes a failure is when he quits trying. You are never a failure until you quit trying. And you know what I believe? I believe tonight that there's not quitters in Arkansas. I believe tonight that there's not a one of you that's a quitter. I believe that in this youth camp, something is being kindled down the inside of you. Yes, there's going to be some problems. You're going to have to go home from here. And it's not going to be glory. It's not going to all be a hoop and a holler and a shout. But it's going to be right out there where the rubber meets the road. Some of you may go back to small churches where you may be the only youth in that particular church. And it's not going to be easy. But I'm telling you that I believe that you're getting a hold of something in this youth camp that's going to say, hey, I'm not going to quit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Success is failure turned inside out. David was an adulterer. He entered into adultery with Bathsheba. He then murdered her husband, not by his own hand, but by his kingly seal. He murdered her husband. So David was first an adulterer and then a murderer. But in the New Testament, he's called a man after God's own heart. Why? Because when the preacher came and said, David, you've done wrong. David, you've sinned. David cried out, I have sinned. Help me and forgive me. I've got to make it. And he became the only man in the Bible called a man after God's own heart. What are you telling me tonight, Brother Foster? I'm telling you tonight that you can fail and still not be a failure. I want to say that again. I'm telling you tonight that you can fail and still not be a failure. I'm telling you tonight that it doesn't matter what is in your background. It doesn't matter what kind of history you have. It doesn't matter what's in your past. If you have already failed 24 times, if in this youth camp you say, devil, get out of my way. I'm getting ready to spit in your eye. I'm getting ready to run over you. In the name of Jesus, I will not surrender. I will not quit. I'm telling you that you're not a failure. You're not a failure. You're not a failure. There was a man several years ago by the name of Gene Tunney. He was a heavyweight boxer. He had aspirations to be the heavyweight champion of the world. While boxing in Europe, he broke both hands. The doctors told him, Mr. Tunney, you'll never fight again. He was known as a puncher. He was known as a toe-to-toe slugger. He was known as a knockout artist. But they said, your hands are weak and you'll never enter the ring successfully again. And he said, I'm not a quitter. I'm not going to quit. I may not be the slugger, but I'm going to learn from my mistakes and I'm going to be a boxer. And so he changed his style and he learned from those two broken hands and became the man that defeated another great boxer by the name of Jack Dempsey for the heavyweight championship of the world. What I'm telling you is that whenever you suffer a failure, whenever you feel like you're wallowing in shame, whenever you feel like that you're holding on to the end of your rope with a knot tied in it, I'm telling you that you can learn from that and you can say, I won't go that direction again, but I'll come out and devil, I'll get you from the other side. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Lumpkins, where's Brother Lumpkins? Is he in here? Come here, Brother Lumpkins. Brother Bob McCool, Jr., Come here. Bring my coat up here with you. Everybody say hallelujah. Everybody say glory. Everybody say I may be beaten, but I'm not defeated. Everybody say devil. Devil. Hear me tonight. You may have beat me a time or two, but hey buddy, it's not over yet. You hadn't seen anything yet. I'm just getting started. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all in how you look at it. General Creighton Abrams in World War II, when his command was totally surrounded, got his troops together, and he said, gentlemen, for the first time in this campaign, we are now in a position to attack the enemy in any direction.
Come on now. Right? Come on.
Glory. Come here, Brother Jerome. Come here, Brother Whittingham. Come here, Brother Joe Strahan. Come here. You see, sometimes you feel like you're surrounded. Now, these men are not devils, understand that. We're just playing like it tonight. But sometimes you feel like General Creighton Abrams felt. He was totally surrounded. And sometimes you feel like there are imps and demons all around you and pounding you over the head. But hey, let me tell you something, young person. That's when you know that anywhere I swing, I'm going to hit a devil.
All right, come on. Yeah.
He can't get away from me this time. Y'all stay right there. There was a little Marine general in the Korean War. He was less than 5 feet tall. And his name was Chesty Puller. And they were surrounded by thousands of the enemy. He only had 3,000 troops. And he got his men together. He raised his sword. And he said, men, they've got us surrounded. They won't get away this time. And do you know what history says? History says that they fought and defeated the North Korean army and took all their dead and wounded out with them. I'm telling you, you've got to make up your mind, devil. You've been messing with me long enough. Now you've got me surrounded, and now I've made up my mind that you're not going to get away this time. And so any way I hit, I'm going to hit a devil. Any way I hit, I'm going to hit a devil. Any way I hit, I'm going to hit a devil. I may be beaten, I may be down, but I'm not defeated, I'm not out, I'm not going to stop, I'm not going to quit. You can be a total winner, even if you're a beginner. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can, you can. You can wear the gold medallion. You can ride your own black stallion. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can, you can. It's not your talent or the gifted birth. It's not your bank book that determines your worth. And it isn't the color of your skin. It's your attitude that lets you win. You can upset McEnroe or Austin, win the marathon in Boston. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can, you can. You can profit through inflation. You can redirect this nation. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can, you can. It doesn't matter if you've won before. It makes no difference what the halftime score. It's never over till the final gun. So keep on trying, and you're going to find that you've won. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can, you can. Just grab your dream and then believe it. Go out and work and you'll achieve it. Believe in God and you're halfway there. Believe in yourself and you're three quarters there. If you think you can, you can.
Right.
Great preaching. Great preaching. Yes. Come on.
Hey, devil! You're looking tonight at a bunch of Arkansas believers. We believe in God, and we believe that God is in us, and there's nothing that can defeat us. Blind Bartimaeus was there on the Jericho road. Jesus was coming his way. He heard the stories of Jesus, and he made up his mind. Whatever I have to do, I am going to see that man.
Yeah. That's right. Come on.
Right.
Did you hear what I said? I'm going to see that man. I'm going to see that man.
All right.
His mind was made up. Whatever it takes, I'm going to see him. I'm not just going to talk to him, but I'm going to see him. I have been a loser long enough. And so Jesus was passing by, and you know the story. He cried, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they said, "Be quiet, hush, shut up. He doesn't want to hear you." Hey, let me tell you something. Even if your Pentecostal friends try to shut you up sometimes from praising God, you say, "Hey, get out of my way in the name of Jesus. I want to get a hold of Jesus. I'm going to praise Jesus, and you're not going to stop me." Sit down. And the scripture says that Jesus commanded him to be brought. And they went and they said, "Be of good cheer, arise, the master calleth for thee." And in that day and time, tradition tells us that beggars wore a robe or a garment of distinction. And it identified them as a blind beggar. Therefore, if you were walking down the street, you could recognize him afar off, and you could cross the street and not have to walk close to that blind beggar in all of his wretchedness. And the Bible says that whenever they called Bartimaeus, the Bible says that he arose casting away his garment.
Right. Come on.
Now, what did that garment represent? That garment represented his past. That garment represented every failure. That garment represented every defeat. And the Bible does not say that he cast it just aside.
Come on.
Like some of us do sometimes. But he took it and he threw it away.
All right.
He got rid of it. Now you see, some of us sometimes we take our past, and some of you, maybe you have some great, great things that you're ashamed of in your past, great sins. And maybe there are others that it's just some little old nagging things, but they come back and they haunt you almost daily. And they bother you. And you take them and you cast them aside for a while. But before you know it, go ahead and put it aside. Put it here on the pulpit now. But then before you know it, the devil's come along and he's laid it back on you and you've accepted it back. And sometimes, stand right there. Now, Brother Lumpkins is not the devil. We're just going to play like it. But sometimes the devil comes along
and he looks 10 feet tall. And you don't see any way that you can overcome him. And what does he do? The devil comes along and he starts kind of pounding you on the shoulders with your past. Hit him with that. That's his past. Don't tear it up. Just hit him with it. And then the next thing you know, the devil has taken it. And he's hung it over your head. Do you know what I'm talking about, young people? He's hung it over your head, and the next thing you know, he's rubbing it in your nose. But I'm telling you this, any time, I said any time that you get good and ready, all you've got to do is say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I'm taking this thing off and I'm throwing it at you and I'm getting rid of you and you are gone. Some of you right now, you've got your past hanging over your head. You've been walking around this whole youth camp with the devil. Now let me tell you what's going to happen. Whenever you make up your mind, devil, I've been defeated in the past, but I'm down, but I'm not out. You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? Jesus is going to come to your rescue, and he's going to put you on his shoulders. And the devil's going to look like a midget, and you can throw your past at him. We may be beaten, but we are not defeated. We are born.